You see some of them as paupers, and a lot of times you see them, some of them being sick and different things. And because of that, it is disillusioning to you. You know, you get disillusioned because you cannot see, as some of you, beyond the veil as to know one after the Spirit. And so then, knowing people after the flesh, you judge them all to be alike, even as those that are in the world. And yet it is not true, because they are gods. And someone would say, well, I like that saying, Brother Pike, you know, or think I like the way that you say that. But after all, we know that we're just people. No, I'm not just saying that. And it's not that people of God are just people. You're just ignorant and you don't understand. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. You're just ignorant and don't understand. But nevertheless, they are eternal gods that shall live throughout eternity and shall outshine the brightness of the noonday. And when you address them and when you speak to them or when you come near to them, it's different altogether. As a matter of fact, if just one individual that is a son of God or a daughter of God, just one individual, if they were as to being unveiled in this world, as to move the bodily image away, as to that of iniquity, and you took one look at them, they would outshine the brightness of the noonday. And the sun would have to hang its head in shame, as we would say, because they are eternal. And it isn't that they're going to become eternal, they already are eternal. And it isn't that they're going to get eternal life, they already have eternal life. And it isn't that they're going to pass from death unto life, they've already passed from death unto life. And it isn't that they're going to get all things that pertain unto life if they overcome, they already have all things that pertain unto life. And God hath made us equal to himself. God hath made us equal to himself. A lot of times when I say things like that, people almost shudder. But God hath made us equal to himself. Now, the Bible said, and everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. And the Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, so then God hath made us equal to himself. No man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. And even though we may not have obtained, during our lifetime, we may not obtain unto that which he would like to give us as a full reward, in that there is a requirement as to your bodily conformities. Take a lot of explaining for that, but nevertheless, you are great and mighty people. Even as a little babe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are eligible for the translation or what is called the rapture. Just being born of the Spirit and being born into the kingdom of God, you don't have anything to worry about. You will make the translation or you will go, as they say, in the rapture. But I say this again to you that many things that we lose because we do not exercise our ability in the Lord as to utilize this wonderful hidden ability of Christ that's hid within us. And we lose a lot of things. We lose a lot of things in this present world, and we lose a lot of things in the world to come because we have never yet learned to utilize our Christian ability. So I want to do all I can. That's to follow God and to utilize my ability. I'd first like to say that we have a hold up as to going into Israel. They have stopped them from going into Israel. They have moved the Patriot missiles in to try to knock out the Scrub missiles. And they have our men operating these because the Jews or the Israelites, they don't know how to operate these things. Which is probably the first time ever that anybody has ever fought with Israel in their battles as of our day or whatever. But I spoke of it not too long ago of how Joseph and Benjamin would come together. And sure enough, these men are over there as two soldiers to operate those missiles. As you know, the Patriot missile, as they launched one of them for the first time, it went up and cut across the trail behind the missile that had been fired on Saudi Arabia. And when it hit the trail of heat, it picked it up. And when it picked it up, it automatically trailed it and knocked it out. All right, let's everybody, just for a few moments, if you will, give me your undivided attention. Let's read from over in the book of Jude. From the first chapter of the book of Jude, I'd like to read just a little bit here and comment on some things if I could. And I don't know that I'll say anything in the way of revelation. I never know when I get up here whether or not I'm going to say anything in the way of revelation or not. I do know that I'm going to speak to you from the Word of God, and I do know that we need to heed the Word of God, because if there ever has been a time in the history of the world that men need to heed the Word of God, it's now. And in reading this, I'd like for you to give, as the Bible said, the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest you let them slip, and take heed how that you hear, so that you won't misconstrue these things. Yesterday we made our sermons for Lebanon for the radio station there, and this past Friday was our 8th program, and then of course Monday will be our 9th program, and we go into a new month before too much longer. And I thank the Lord that the programs are already made for the next month, and that the money has already been paid for this coming month. So that makes me feel good to know that that's kind of off my mind right now, inasmuch as the things like that have to be done, and I sometimes may not be here, or I may be gone, or could have been gone to Israel or anywhere. But it makes me feel better when we make those things as to a month's program, and then we can kind of have a little breather. All right, appreciate you being here. I believe that we've got a sister here from, I don't know, maybe it's in the Carolinas. Is that right? From where? Pickens, South. What's her name? Sister Evelyn Grubb. Sister Evelyn Grubb, could you raise your hand back there, sister? These lights a little blurry. All right, Sister Evelyn Grubb, let's give the sister a hand, okay? I think Sister Grubbs is a follower of Brother Branham's ministry, maybe has been for years, and is over in the Carolina area, and wanted to come down and visit with us some, and I don't know, she's liable to move down here, can't ever tell. I saw some other folks come in back up here. I don't know just who they was. If the lights didn't blur, I probably could recognize them if they've been with us before. But even if they've been with us, it's kind of hard to recognize them. And it seemed like I ought to know them. Do I know these people that just come in back here, Dwight? Is that Sophia? Raise your hand if that's Sophia. Well, good. And this is your companion? Well, well. And who else? I guess that's Sister Floyd. No, who is that? Oh, Rose. Okay, Rose. That's going to be all right. All right, let's give these folks a hand. If you're here and I don't see you, we appreciate you coming out. I say so often, welcome to Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul. We're actively engaged in world evangelism, trying to do what we can in our little corner. As our brother Taylor says, brighten the corner where you are, and this is our corner. So we're trying to brighten the corner. We're glad to have you here. The ones that's been coming with us, to be with us, we appreciate you coming. I see Gerald coming in. We always appreciate Gerald. I really love and appreciate Gerald. I really believe Gerald loves the Lord. And he's a good Bible scholar, too. He knows the Bible. Also, we've got a few others that have been dropping in with us from time to time, and now they're kind of getting to be regular comers. We still have Daryl's daughter, that she's one of our regular comers now. She's been one of our children since she was a little girl anyway. And also we had Jason and his wife here the other night. Her brother. And I don't know where Jason is here today or not. certainly glad to have these people come out and be with us. And then also Wayne's daughter and the companion-to-be, I always say. And we're glad to have her, and we're also glad to have the young man that's with her. Appreciate them coming. We had another couple. I don't see them this morning. They come in every once in a while with us, Brother Clark's son-in-law-to-be and daughter. And it's just good to be able to know you love the Lord and that you're here with us. Got Steve with us this morning. I hope everything's going along real good. Could you raise your hand if it is? All right, praise God. He's given his heart to the Lord. And the devil took a lick at him, but he's won out over him. And let me see. I believe back up in the balcony, I believe I see our brother Stan's dad and mother. Is this right, Stan? All right, they're with us this morning. There's some of their children also, I believe, is with them. All right, let's give these folks a hand. All right, we're glad to have Chris with us. Chris Pittman, he's with us. Kathy was with us the other night. I don't know whether she's here today, is she? All right, we're certainly glad to have them here with us. She was down at the altar the other night. And different ones, you know, they come in and out. We had quite a number of visitors yesterday that came. They wanted to talk with us, and we didn't get to talk with them much, but we did get to visit some. But people from around the different parts of Monroe, they come, and people from different towns come, and people from different states come, and people from different countries come. And whenever they come, well, we're glad to have them. I still see John's brother-in-law, it is back here. He's still with us. He's getting to be regular. And I see the other folks coming in, the dad and mother and grandmother. I think maybe the grandmother's been sick, but she must be better. And we're glad to have these people. They've got to be regular attendants. I was hoping that we could have a baptism before too much longer. Little Ernie, he keeps telling me over and over, he's got to be baptized. And then now, little Sister Bennett, she has to be baptized. And I don't know who all, but we've got some more perhaps that have to be baptized. Some has mentioned it to me from time to time. And we want to be sure that we see that they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you need to be baptized. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what is the urgency of being baptized when you become a Christian? Well, I ask you a question. If you answer my question, then I'll answer your question. And I think if you answer my question, I won't have to answer your question. What is the urgency of burying a dead man when he dies? Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So then the Bible said to reckon yourselves to be dead to the world and alive unto God, or having been crucified with Christ, then are you dead with Christ, and you are to be buried with Christ Jesus. And as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In the day of the judgment, the question is going to be, how did you get in here without the wedding garment? Unless you've been baptized into Christ, having put on Christ, and then if you have, then having been buried with him, then are you resurrected with him, and then do you have the new garment? For Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. A lot of people just say, he that believeth. All you got to do is believe, somebody says, and they go on with their doctrine, and they go on with their way of life, and they come against the real truth, and they find fault, and say, all you got to do is believe. That's true. All you have to do is believe. But somebody says it's not necessary to be baptized. All you have to do is believe. But nevertheless, if you really understand what believing is as to faith, then the first thing you will recognize is that to believe is it just to believe? To believe means to believe what he said. And he said, be baptized. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, all you have to do is believe then. And the Bible said your faith as to your believing is shown by your deeds. The writer said, show me your believing without doing anything, and I'll show you what I believe by what I do. So then it is true that it's so easy for the devil to twist something up in your mind and for you to misconstrue that and not understand and get off on the wrong foot. But anyway, we thank God that you understand and that we understand. And another thing we need to remember is the Bible says that when Jesus came, he was baptized. The Bible said that we should follow in his steps, And his steps went down to the Jordan and he was baptized. And even though John said, I'm not worthy to do this, I'm not even worthy to loose the shoes of his feet. Yet he said, John, suffer this to be so now. For thus it becometh us to do something that's not necessary to be done. Is that what he said? He didn't say that, did he? He said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So it must have been a part of righteousness. All right. It's for sure that if people die, it's necessary to bury them. And somebody said, well, I just don't believe in baptism. Well, you know, there's one thing about it. You haven't been crucified with Christ, or you wouldn't think like that. You don't have the mind of the Lord. The Bible should repent, every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it's unto you and your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God should call. So you that don't believe that you ought to be baptized, there's one thing that's wrong to begin with. You're already dead. You're already dead, and you are out in the world. You're buried out in the world. You're dead, and some of you twice dead, the Bible said, and plucked up by the root, and you are living in trespasses and sin. You have the love of the world in you, and you have your own idea about religion, which means that you are dead in the things of the world, and you don't even come into the presence of God as to registering with the saints. All right, let's read in the book of Jude, the general epistle of Jude. It says here as to, we might as well read from the first verse, I guess. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root. Raging wave of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who have separated themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Let's refer back now to the scripture that we have spoke to you about once or twice. The ninth verse. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. Now, this, looking at this, the thought is the dispute about the body. We mentioned this a time or two. We've never really had a chance to elaborate on it the way that I would like to elaborate on it, but at any rate, we are glad to have a chance from time to time to talk about it. The dispute about the body. It tells us here that there was a dispute over the body of Moses. See, it says the body of Moses. Now, first of all, why would there be a dispute over the body of Moses? Why would anyone want a dispute over the body of Moses? Moses, as we suppose, died. And then Moses, as we suppose, was buried. All right, let's look at it again now. It says, and there was a dispute over the body of Moses. A dispute over the body of Moses. I say again, why would they dispute over the body of Moses? See, what would cause them to have a dispute over the body of Moses? The reason they disputed over the body of Moses was because death had no power over the body of Moses. That's why. See, Moses had been on the mountain for about 80 days with God, and he had got so caught up into the glory of God and had become so close to God until he had just passed over, as we say, the barriers of death. Why is there a dispute over the body of Moses? It is because when death came to claim the body of Moses, the Lord was there, or the angel of the Lord was there. And the angel of the Lord said to the death angel, or as to Satan, said, The Lord rebuke thee. They started their dispute. They started their dispute. Satan was saying, This is my body. It's made out of the dust. I'm the prince of this world. I'm the God of this world. This was made out of the elements of my world. I claim this body. And then the angel of the Lord was saying, The Lord rebuke thee, Satan, because as it was when Jesus spoke. He said, I come from heaven, you come from the earth. I go back to heaven, you go back to the earth. You are of this world, I am not of this world, he said. So then, as I've said to you many times, see, I did not come from the earth. I came from heaven. I go back to heaven. Because the Bible said the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And so then, I am bone of his bone, and I am flesh of his flesh. And the Bible said these things were given me in Christ before the world ever was. I'm not of this world. I've been chosen out of this world. I've been hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the change of the body or the restoring of all things. So then, I find that I am not of this world. The Bible says that ye are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And if you were of this world, then the world would love you, because the world loveth its own. But I am not of this world. So then I'm not expecting to go back to the dust. I'm expecting to go to God. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. I beg your pardon, it's not from the dust I am to begin with, and I don't plan to return to the dust. Now there might come a time that I might lay down and take a nap till the Lord comes around and wakes me up. But the dust hath no part of me. Every hair of my head is numbered, and even though it's mighty thin up there, all of them is waiting on me, and they will be restored down to the very hair. Not one tiny cell of my body will perish to go back to the dust, because I don't belong to the dust. I didn't come from the dust. See, but as an Adam, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return, had before regeneration as to Calvary, because the Lord had seen that they had sinned against him, and in Adam all die. So then if you be of Adam, then ye die. But if you be of God, then it's different altogether. Now, the Bible says, and I know you'll say this to me, oh, Brother Pike, you've got to die, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. Every man has to die. After that, the judgment. And that is true. Having been born in Adam, as to that thing is the fall, so then I died. I died as unto sin. I died, and I was buried in a watery grave. And then, inasmuch as I was buried in a watery grave, as just as you bear sailors out to sea, it's a grave. Having been buried in a watery grave, I am then dead as to that image of iniquity, and it's gone forever. And now I am alive forevermore. As Jesus said, I once was dead. I died as my Savior did. And now I am alive forevermore. And I am now born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I am now that God sees as the body of the Son of the living God. I born the image of the earthly, but now in his eyes, and as to the change of Thessalonians, which will come, I shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And you that don't look at the flesh, but understand that we're to know one another after the Spirit, see me as born of his bone and flesh of his flesh, or beyond this veil of death, as to this body, and you're looking at the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. For now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. Though it doth not yet appear to the eye as to your visibility of those that cannot see when good cometh, it does not appear to your eyes as of yet, because you cannot see. But as to us, our eyes of understanding being enlightened, then we see this wonderful thing of God and the wonderful treasure of God, and who we are, who we've always been, and what we will always be. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, if you live a good life, one of these days perhaps you'll overcome. And then if you overcome, when we get to the judgment and the Lord begins to sort out things and say, well, five in his favor and four not in his favor and three in his favor and two not in his favor, and if it comes out favorable, then he'll set you on the right side and you'll receive eternal life. And so it will be well with you. No, that isn't it at all. See, it's at the house of God, the preacher's preaching, and he's telling you the word of God, and it's not him, but God speaking, and as to your faith in that word, as to God speaks to you, then your sins are either remitted or they are retained. And you either reflect this thing and taste of these things and go your way back into the iniquities of the world, or either you submit yourself to God, change and conform to these things as to a new birth, and you come to God and you immediately receive eternal life to pass from death unto life. So then it's beautiful. We then have been buried. Have I then been buried as just a symbolic thing? It is true, I've been buried as to a symbolic thing, as to the symbolic people in their symbolic thinking, as to a parabolic vision to them. But I've not been buried symbolic. I was buried in the water, which is a grave. The water is a grave to sailors at sea. It is a grave just as much as that is a grave out there in the dirt. God, wanting to bring us forth in the resurrection, even as in the barrel, he used the water, and he made water for that purpose. So then I've been buried with him in baptism because I was crucified with him at Calvary. Now, have I been crucified with him at Calvary as a symbolism, or was I actually crucified with him? Paul said, "Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto the sins of the world and unto the world by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if I'm dead but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then am I no more alive in the body as to the world, as to the body of Adam, as in Adam all die. I met the judgment, for the Bible said, "And God looked down from heaven and heard the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that was appointed unto death." So then at this time he succored us. He heard us there at Calvary. We were appointed unto death. Wants to die, and so then he heard us and he succored us. And the Bible said he looked down from heaven, he heard the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that were appointed unto death. So he heard me as a prisoner of death. He took my place in death. He loosed me from death. And if he loosed me from death, then I am to die no more. If he loosed me from death and then I'm to die, then how did he loose me from death? He loosed me from death. And I can prove to you by the scripture that he loosed me from death. He loosed me from death, and I am to die no more. So by the body of the Lord Jesus that was killed at Calvary, that was buried in the ground, so am I dead with him, and I am buried in water baptism to die no more. And this, of course, has to do with the great secret of Paul as to the mystery of them that shall not all sleep. That we're going to come to the knowledge of this and the understanding of this, and a generation is going to listen instead of playing religion. They're going to get down to business and they're going to listen at this thing. And after a while, they're going to come to the place to where they're going to with the redemption of the body, and they're not going to put them in caskets. They won't die. They won't die anymore. They won't die. I know somebody says, "Oh, that can't be." But I promise you it will be. And Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed." So then, did he loose me from death? He did loose me from death. How did he loose me from death? Because the Bible teaches that death reigned over the people all the way from Adam down to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. And then as to the coming of Moses, the law came. And when the law came, the Bible teaches that it came that the offense of sin might abound, or that is, be preeminent, to where it could come up to where we could see it and people would know why that their generations had been passing away. See, there was no knowledge of sin. And when there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. But still death is the result of sin, though sin itself is not imputed. So then all of these died under the law, in that when the law came, sin revived. And Paul said, "Then I died." See, that is to say, that which was ordained unto life as that which is spiritual, he said, I found to be unto death. He said, not because the law is wrong, not because the law is carnal, but I'm carnal, sold unto sin. And he said, I'm not able to perform that the law requires as to that, as to the attributes and measurements of God's righteousness. I cannot obtain unto that, he said. I can't do it. I am inferior to it. I don't have the ability to do it. And so then God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, as to the image of iniquity, done away with iniquity in my behalf. 430 years. The Bible teaches that to the 430 years and then afterwards. So when we think of the time as to Calvary, 483 years, and then when we come to this time, I am loose from death. I am loose from death. See, 430 years before the law ever came, God gave this plan to Abraham by faith. But afterwards, then the seed as to whom the promise was made, as to saying, in Isaac shall all nations be blessed. When the seed came as to Jesus, then all of the ordinances and the commandments that was imposed upon the people was done away with. See, that is to say, these things were imposed upon the people as to the people having fallen to the beast level. Then it was a beast blood that was given to keep them safe until the time that a human beast, as to the image, could come forth. And so then when Jesus came forth, he loosed me from sin. How did he loose me from sin? By fulfilling the law. The law shall not pass till every jot and tittle be fulfilled. And Jesus said, Father, it is finished. He fulfilled every jot of it. He fulfilled every tittle of it. He took me out from under the law. He folded the law up. He laid the law away. And he loosed me from death. Because the transgression of the law is sin. The transgression of the law is sin. And the sting of sin is death. And I was bound as a transgressor of the law. I was bound as to the image of Adam, though I had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. But as in Adam all die because of his sins. I was bound unto death, even as Isaac was bound unto death when the lamb was seen as caught in the brambles. And when Abraham reached over and got that, and the angel said, do the child no harm. And it saved Isaac's life. I've been saved as by the life of Isaac of our day, even the Lord Jesus. God has loosed him as Isaac was loosed for the simple reason that corruption could not hold him. He had done no wrong. Death had no power over him, though death pounced upon him. And though his soul went down into the chambers of hell, it couldn't even hold him in hell because he had no guilt. And because Isaac was loose and he lived, so then I say as today, as through God's Isaac, I am alive and I live. For he was delivered from my offenses. He was raised again for my justification that I might live in the presence of God. So then when the 483 years came, as it was said by the angel, so then 480 years, now it comes and all together we're free from death. Oh, that is to say, the Bible said, and he will make an end of transgression, that is to say, the transgression of the law, and make an end of sin, that is to say, because transgression of the law is sin, and he conquered death, and he took us out from under the curse, for the Bible said, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the law to do all things that are commanded of the law. So then if you be guilty of one little bit, you're guilty of all of it. Not one jot and a tittle could pass away. All of it had to be fulfilled. And so God, coming down in a human body, fulfilled his law, stepped between me and the law, took the repercussions of that as to sin, and freed me from death. So today, I cannot transgress the law because by the body of Jesus Christ, I'm dead to the law. And because of that, I'm dead to the world. As to the world having any hold on me, I'm dead to the world. So I'm free from the great transgression. I'm free from sin. I'm free from death. I'm free from the curse. And that's why we rejoice, because serving God is joy, peace, righteousness in the great Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ, which lives on the inside of me. And if the Spirit is in you, the Bible said that this Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, he will by the Spirit also quicken your mortal body. And if you have not the Spirit, then you're none of his. Because there's but one Spirit, that is the Spirit of Christ. And when he, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ has come, he will testify of me. Oh, that is to say, if he lives within your body will automatically conform to his nature. Because a nature creates an image as to conformity. The reason that you look like you look as to your profile, it is simply because you are of the loins of your father. You are of the blood genes of your father. You are of the nature of your father that was in those blood genes, and it is a reproduction because God ordained in the beginning that every species, everything should reproduce after his kind. That's why I don't believe the theory of Darwin and these kind of things is to junk. But anyway, nevertheless, it is a true fact that you are an image, and there's no need of trying to become an elephant. You'll never get to be one. Let's give the Lord a hand. Darwin can say what he wants to, but man will never turn into monkey, and monkey will never turn into man. All right, that's just science ignorance, falsely so called, as we say, as to science. Knowledge. The word knowledge as to science. All right, so then, I just had to drop that in on the side. Nevertheless, I see that we can believe in God's word to let every man be a liar, whether Darwin or Einstein or whoever, and take God's word. I say again, as I've said before, I believe in mind over matter. We're taught in school mind over matter, or that is, scientifically speaking, scientists as to their knowledge or mind can control all forms of matter and change it about into different things. Now, I believe in mind over matter, but I do not believe that teaching. As to scientists' mind over matter. To begin with, matter didn't come from science. Everything emanated from God, and it came from the mind of God. And there's one mind that's over matter, even the mind of God. And if you have this mind, then you have the power to do all things, to change forms or images or whatever you want to change. Because God can change, create, do anything. The devil can't do nothing, but, you know, just magnify himself as to being something he really isn't. Thinking more highly of himself than he should think, and not soberly, then he gets into trouble with God. He exalted himself above the stars, was cast out. All right, so then we see again here the dispute over the body. What are we talking about this morning? The body. We're talking about the body. See, I am free from death. What is free from death? My soul, not only my soul, but my body. My body is free. The purchased possession, which is that which will be redeemed as to the coming of the bar mitzvah, and I will with the redemption of my body, as I said before, some people are going to come to the understanding and they're going to be able to keep their body and not lose their body by putting it into a grave, but they're going to change their body. They're going to with the redemption, and by faith, they're going to change their body. Someone would say, well, I don't know how you're going to change your body by faith. Well, it's very easy. How did Enoch change his body by faith? The Bible said, and by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And how did Moses get out of here? And how did Elijah get out of here? And how did Jesus get out of here? I know a lot of times we get a hang up in the Bible. Having a little discussion yesterday, we brought up some of these points. You know, we have a little discussion on different things to try to clarify whether here at the church or there in the midst of the brethren. And that is because a lot of times people get hang ups and they don't understand. It is said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we just automatically take it, you know, there's one thing about it. There's no way to get to heaven because we're flesh and blood. And then we go a little bit more and we advance and say, well, you know, Jesus, the way he got in, he had to spill his blood and all of his blood was gone. So then what it means is that flesh and blood can't, but flesh and bones can. Because he said when he was resurrected, fill of me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. He didn't say anything about blood, so we said, well, got the answer right there. That's what it was. No, that's not what it is at all. It's like I said yesterday, if that's what it is, then how did Enoch get in with his blood? How did Jesus get into glory with his blood? How did Elijah get in with his blood? How did John get caught up into the third heaven with his blood? How did Paul go into the third heaven with his blood? See, how did these men get in with their blood? What it is, we strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, and thinking we know something, we don't know something, as we ought to know, and we put all of this together and figure it out because we have an ambition to go tell somebody about something we know, rather than having a desire to preach the word and to follow God and to do what God tells us to do, rather than having a love for humanity, hating the garments that's spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire. See, that is to say, if you are a preacher, he that God sendeth will speak God's word, and you will hate iniquity, and you will preach against sin. And the Bible said, if these men that came to you had stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to turn from their iniquity. But inasmuch as they did not turn them from iniquity, they didn't stand in my presence. He said, because when it comes to sin, I shall in no wise acquit the wicked, even though the great men, the boldest of the prophets, stood before me. I still wouldn't listen at them. I'm going to punish iniquity. Beware, ye that forget godless, I tear you into pieces. And the Bible said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And all nations that forget God as to the word, as to what he's commanded them toward righteousness, shall be turned into hell. All right, so then getting back to our thought now, we say Calvary, the image of iniquity, is now gone. In iniquity did my mother conceive me, and I am shapen in iniquity. So then, as to my first birth, he said, I will despise your image in the morning, because it is an image of iniquity. Now then, the day star has dawned in my heart, Calvary's come, and it's morning time, and he didn't despise me, because I'm changed into his glorious image. Having borne the earthly image, I'll bear also the heavenly, or do bear it in his sight. But as to those that are in intellectual darkness, that cannot see light nor good when it comes, they have never yet come to the recognition of their mourning. That is to say, already at Calvary, God despises their image. But he has let grace be out there to where he cannot see their image, as unto that day when grace is lifted. When it is lifted, then will he see their image? No, he cannot look upon iniquity. The very moment that grace is lifted as to the light of the church going out as that which is the light of the world, immediately the indignation of God and darkness will be upon them people as to his wrath, because he cannot even look at an image of iniquity. This is why when Jesus hung at Calvary and he became my image of iniquity and your image of iniquity, that all of a sudden he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What have I done? Always God had been with him, and now God had forsaken him. Why? Because suddenly he was projected as our image of iniquity. God not being able to look, as we say, turned the back. And in this, the Bible said, and the heavens became black as sackcloth of hair. The sunlight went out, which meant there was no more light, no more God. And it was a symbolic thing of God. See, and God couldn't even look at him. And him crying out, my God, my God. And I look back at that, and a lot of times I get broke up on the inside of the tears just well up within me. And I think, my God, that pitiful Lamb of God, somebody that had never done anything, like a little child hanging there, always had been in his Father's presence, and because of my wretchedness, your wretchedness, here he is crying out, blading like a little lamb, saying, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Why have you left me? All because of me. See, if that had not been, I would be crying out today, my God, look on me, help me, keep me out of the flames of hell. See, but for my sake, he did that, and God forsook him, giving his only begotten Son, that he might not have to forsake me and might not have to forsake you. And the precious Lamb of God hanging there saying, my God, my God. See, this is what's going to tear the Jewish nation all to pieces. When the Jewish nation sees him and he comes back and he stands there with the nail prints in his hand, and they see that they've actually been the one that killed the lamb, even though they're not the one, in that they said it's not lawful for us to put a man to death at this time because of their Jewish days of reverence to God. The Roman powers did, but they cried, let his blood be upon us, and so it has been upon them and their children all down through the ages, and will be upon them until it's lifted as to them suffering. And once it's lifted, God will receive them, because the blood being upon them also indicates as to that pillar of fire that followed during the time of the darkness of the night, or the veil over their eyes, during the time of their blindness, that same blood will be their atonement. See, as they're having kept them under the blood. But the thing I'm saying is this, that when they see the Lamb, and then they realize that they crucified the Messiah himself and killed the most precious thing that had ever come into this world. Something that was so tender, something that had never done a wrong, something that had never in its lifetime ever done anything wrong as to one thought wrong. And they realized that they brutally took him and killed him. When Peter said, and as it is written, as the scripture has said, and why have they gathered themselves together? Is it not against my Christ? As to the body, there was the body again. I wish we had time to go into this morning, but we're not going to be able to get into it. As to the body, and there hang the body that Satan disputed over as to the greatest dispute ever before. He disputed over Moses' body because he wanted Moses' body, because Moses had been made God to the people. And he knew if he had Moses' body, he would be the great preeminence. See, he took the body of Eve and wanted to get into the body of Adam, but could not, because Adam was sonship, and that's the highest calling. And he could not get into sonship. Adam was not in the transgression. But the woman being in the transgression, the Bible said, she should be subject to the man, which means the church to Christ. Because when Adam went out of the garden, he was no longer as the male, as to Christ, as to the overshadowing, the illumination, as to that which had not sinned, but he was now the feminine part. And God had only made a man and a woman to give us a type of the body and the spirit. So then we see that with that, Adam was also guilty. As in Adam, all die. Eve being the mother of all living. And from that, Satan, though he could not get the sonship body as to the sons of God, yet he did get into the body once the sonship image had lifted. When the sonship image come as the second man, Adam, as to the quickening spirit, back to humanity at Calvary, the sin was thus gone and we were moved back into our sonship image. And today we are without sin and spot and blemish before God. And he that is born of God cannot sin. He's delivered from the transgression of the law, which is sin and death. And now he cannot sin because this great, wonderful Spirit of Christ has come into his heart. And now he hath the eternal life because life is in the Spirit. Let me say this to you again. As I said the other day, it doesn't matter what kind of doctrine you've got. It doesn't matter how good some folks are. As to in every religion, you'll find something good as a root. As a God religion, you'll find something good. But it doesn't matter. God isn't going to save you on the basis of that. That has nothing to do with it. Whether you try to act good or try to act bad. If anybody would have been saved by trying to act good, as to the ritualistics of life, the Jewish people would most assuredly have been saved. But even they have to go through the blood of the Lamb. All nations without respect of person. So then we are looking at it like this, that we have to have the Spirit of Christ. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. I say again by way of an allegoric approach here, that when a great magnet would move over a part of the earth, if it was seeking as to a certain potential in metal, which they do as to tell what kind of metal, or to differentiate when they go to buy certain metals. See, they move this big thing over the metal, or it might be a little one, that they move over the metal. And if there is anything in the metal that is relative to the magnet, it'll jump around like that. See, and it'll even jump up to it. And God is just that way in His coming in the Thessalonian change as to His glory. If there's anything in you as to the Spirit of Christ that's relative to that coming God as to His glory, then this thing on the inside is going to make contact with that, and then it's going to penetrate through the genetics of your body and swallow it up like a sunburst, and you're going to be changed in the glorious image of the eternal body. There is a temporal body, there is an eternal body, there is celestial, there is terrestrial. Now we could go on and go on because I've just very lightly touched on this as to the dispute of the body. But let me end this by saying, and when Satan came as to the moment of Calvary, then he had a great dispute with the Lord Jesus as to quoting the scripture to him and him in the wilderness for 40 days with the wild beast and tempted of the devil. And here while he was there, Satan constantly quoted the scriptures, constantly said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all the world. And took him up on a high mountain here and showed him all the world in just a moment of time. And said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give this to you. Because I am the God of this world. All of it's delivered unto me. to give to whomsoever I will. That's why you've got your bebops. That's why you've got your hippies. That's why you've got all these people on drugs. This is why you've got a sinful, adulterous generation as youth in this day that have no stability in anything, that don't care about anything, that'll curse, that'll smoke, that'll kill mother, daddy, whatever. See, it's because they have sold their soul to the devil. Sold their soul to the devil. I understand that Evers Presley sold his soul to the devil. They tell me that he actually made an agreement and sold his soul to the devil when he knew about the way of God and even that in holiness. And it's like Washington's prayers, where Washington prayed and Washington said to God, George Washington, the father of our country, said to God, restore holiness to your people, Father. Give holiness to your people. And the man that saw visions, the great man that saw the visions, even when the angel stood and said, Son of the Republic, look and learn. See, I just said that as to bring to your mind that this is why that you have all of these things. You compromise with the devil. You've give your soul to the devil. You went after the things of the devil. And you've got lust and covetousness and all these things. And the strange thing about this is that you didn't get anything at all, because there's nothing that he has except a lie. He's a cheat. He's a robber. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He's a covetous. He's a fornicator. He's a drunkard. All you ever got from him was death and corruption. Because as to the trees, as to the bird, as to the houses, as to the land, as to the automobiles, as to whatever it might be, clothing, food, comforts, convenience, as to wealth, the Bible said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is the Lord thy God that maketh thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, to feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, to give thee the desires of thine heart, should thou delightest thyself in the Lord. And it is as to all things emanating from God, and all things were made for us, and all things are ours. Satan has just interwoven. He has deceived Adam and took control of that which is Adam's. And Jesus has come as a near kinsman to redeem it back and to take the curse off. But while it's under the curse, the Lord said, come out from the world. Be separate people. Touch not the unclean things. I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Cast down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. All right, you understand what I'm saying? So then the dispute over the body of Jesus, it came. The dispute over the body of Jesus. Because here Satan offered him the world. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. As it is written, the Lord God, there is but one God, and him only shall ye serve. And as it is written, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So then when you drink, when you curse, when you carouse, when you go after the things of the world, you're lost. There's no need if you're getting some concoction in your mind, a wild idea that God's grace and God's going to let you get away with it, and that God at your time, when you take a good notion, he's going to save you. He will not. You are cutting yourself off from God when you come to the knowledge of the truth and you know to do good and you won't do it. It is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. You say, well, I believe that I can come and repent. You can come and repent. Sure, you can come and repent. Somebody says, well, I've known about God for X amount of years, Brother Pike, but I'll just come back and repent. You can. You can come and repent. That's fine. Come and repent. It's okay. But when you repent, you're not going to find any place of repentance. Remember that the gifts and callings of God are by foreordination as to elect, according to foreordination, as Paul preached to the people that were before of the foundation of the world, ordained unto eternal life, they believed. And the rest that was not foreordained, they did not believe. And so then you can come all you want to, you can repent, but once you come to the knowledge of the truth, you reject the knowledge of the truth, go your way and you really understand there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. So then you can come back and repent, but you're not going to find any place of repentance. For the Bible tells us to pray that God will grant repentance to them that are without. We're to pray, for God heareth not a sinner's prayer. So then we're to pray that God will grant repentance unto them. Somebody said, well, how do they get saved, Brother Pike, if God don't hear their prayer? He gets saved because the saints of God are interceding and praying for them. And so then when they come, then God, having the blood on the seat of atonement, the grace, then it gives them a chance to taste of these wonderful gifts. Even them that are not elect have the chance to taste of it, the goodness of God leading them to repentance, and then they reflect it and go back out. The light goes out and they're right back in the rut. But people that are born again, that have the Spirit of God on the inside of their heart, will redeem the body, and that body will come to God. That body will be changed, and that body will be preserved forever, because it's the tabernacle of God in which Christ Himself will dwell in throughout eternity. All right, how do you understand what I'm saying? Let me see your hand if you understand what I'm saying. Some do. All right, so then the dispute was with Jesus for the simple reason that if he could have gotten Jesus' body, then he would have been God Almighty. Because the body of Jesus was God, ordained as to Godship. It was spotless without anything. If he could have got that body, he could have completely done away with God the Great Spirit ever coming to humanity. There would have been no way that God could have ever entered into humanity and got humanity. Never. If he could have got that one body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he couldn't get it. And so the dispute today is the same. He's still disputing. A continual warfare between the body and the soul. And you're continually in a dispute as between your inner and outer man. And as to the one that wins out, that's what you are. So then as to the crossing of your spirit, as to your body, as to Calvary, then if you overcome the body, then you eat of the hidden manna. If you do not overcome the body, then Satan within the body overcomes you, in that there's no good thing in the body. And then you lose your eternal life, and there is no life. So then if you go after the world and have the love of the world in you, the love of the Father is not there. If you have the love of Christ in you as to the Spirit, then you'll prove it by being about the Father's business and doing the things that please God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's everybody stand together. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. I don't know that I kept you too long. I might have kept you a little longer than I intended to, but we still only barely scratched the surface. Barely scratched the surface. Let's sing a little chorus together. It's good to be here. It's good to have you here. It's good to be able to minister to you. Someday, I will have to present you as my children to God, whoever you are. And to you that are hearing my voice, you'll be standing there as to this generation, and I'll be one of them that'll have to either vouch for you or as a lawyer that pleads a cause, and that we're guilty. And we have to have somebody to plead our cause as to prove our justification in that day. As to a man going to court without an attorney, there's going to be a defense there as to an attorney. And that in your behalf, and there's going to be the prosecutor there as to Satan. Satan will be there to prosecute, and Jesus will be there to defend. And as we present you as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in that day, Paul said, I seek to present you body, soul, and spirit, complete and whole. And without spot and without blemish, for I've espoused you to one, even to the Lord Jesus Christ, as to him as his bride. For he's coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. So he is without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. So we're trying to perfect your faith in the wonderful things of God. For this we wish even the perfecting of your faith. We're set here as to the minister of the Bible. Said, for the perfecting of your faith, and that you're justified by faith, and God purifies your heart by faith. And it's by faith that in it was translated. It's by faith that you're saved. Can we sing this little chorus together? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, precious spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete, while I sit at your feet, oh sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. The altars are open. While the altars are open, you're welcome to come. or I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest did may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee, I need precious Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. So don't in a way I'll guarantee you, she felt that. She felt that. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? God is good. There's none good but God. They just brought me a little book here, Brother Collins, little man. He brought me a book. This is some beautiful artwork that our Brother Pete did. He's astounding in his work. But anyway, it's called The Sign of His Coming. And it's a new one. They just have come off the press with. Of course, I guess Sister Betty will probably want this one. But anyway, they're available as far as I know. You know, there's one thing about our literature, you don't have to buy it. We give our literature free. And you're welcome to have them. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave His Son to die, to die. And He gave His life on the cross of Calvary, and the Lord for His wonder. Thank God there's a bridge over. I read where He said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, pure walls of jasper, and the Lord for His marvelous grace. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see this sweet thing. Where the young will dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for His mark. Can you sing it again? Thank God there's a bridge over the river.
him I'll abide there forever. The Lord for his martyrs.
One more time.
Thank God there's a bridge over the river. They ain't so sweet. With him I'll dwell there forever. The Lord martyrs.
All right, let's lift our hands up together. We'll pray with you and we'll let you go.